If you didn't know it, if you didn't know this, you're about to find out. We serve an awesome God. We serve an absolutely incredible, mighty, and it's tremendous, awesome God. We serve a God who is rock solid no matter what goes on, no matter what happens, no matter where we're at, no matter what our circumstances, no matter how I feel, what I look like, what people say, what people do, no matter what, we have a God who is rock solid all the time. He does not waver. He does not change. He does not move. He's there. He's consistent in his character, in his holiness, in his righteousness. He is absolutely perfect in every single way, and we can count on him every single day. It's awesome. It really is. And it's really especially awesome when you start looking around our world today, because our world is in a spiral that is getting out of control. And we need to understand that there is a God at the center of our world. He's not just at the center. He's at the top of our world, and he's at the bottom of our world. He's surrounding us in every way, shape, or form. He is there at all times, 24 hours a day, everywhere, all the time. He's there, and we can depend on him. And that's so important, because things are spinning out of control so fast. If you don't believe me, just read the news. Just look at what's going on. Just go and visit a few people this week, and you will find out that things are spinning in such a way that it's getting very scary. Very scary. You know, just a couple weeks ago, we had, and we didn't really mention it, but there was a horrific shooting in Aurora, Colorado, where a young man who took all the rejection, all the pain, all the suffering that he's experienced in this life, no matter what it was, and he took it out on some innocent people. And incredibly, so many people died, and we sat there and wondered, where was God in that? You know, we can look at it in our everyday lives surrounding us right now. You know, I read the news the other day about this whole Chick-fil-A thing. This is getting crazy. This is crazy. I read an article the other day on the web that some guy who was so enraged with what the manager or the owner of Chick-fil-A did that he went into a drive-up of a, this is crazy, went to a drive-up of a Chick-fil-A, some random Chick-fil-A in the country, and started just browbeating the person who was on the other side of the microphone. I mean, they were just like, hello, have a nice day, can I take your order? And this guy, and he taped himself. It wasn't bad enough that he just did it. He taped himself berating and belittling and angering, yelling at this person on the other end of the microphone. He taped himself on a videotape, and then he had the audacity to take the videotape and put it on YouTube so other people could watch him being this, he was just ranting about how terrible this was and how what an awful organization this was, and how can you work for an organization that believes like this, and just going on and on about how horrible this person was because they worked at this restaurant, and how horrible it was because of the rejection that they feel like they are getting because of this, and so on and so forth. And he put it on YouTube. I don't remember the guy's name, but his boss saw it. And guess what happened? He got fired. He got rejected again. And there's a constant circling of what's going on in our world. You know, this week, I went and visited with a lot of people this week. If I didn't get to visit with you this week, I apologize. I'm still trying to get there, okay? It's a time-consuming thing trying to go out and visit and just see how people are doing. And I really am. I'm trying to make a concerted effort. Just go talk with you. Meet up with you. See where you're at. And there's a cycle that's going on. BCL talks about this cycle. The cycle of rejection. And people are getting into it so quickly and so fast, Lord, and they don't even know that they're getting into this cycle of rejection. You see, someone in your path, it comes along and someone says something negative to you or does something that hurts your feelings, or it could be the littlest thing, it could be the biggest thing. It just depends on where you're at in your life right at this moment. Something happens to you, someone says something or someone does something, and all of a sudden you hear that rejection and you hang on to it, and you make a choice right then in the midst of that comment, what they do or what they say, you choose to listen to it and believe it, okay? You choose to listen to whatever they said. You know, you're fat. Oh, okay, yeah. Whatever. You're ugly. Whatever. You choose to listen and believe it. And you're actually making a choice to listen to believe it. And we do it subconsciously. We do it without even thinking about it. We choose to listen to those things and hang on to it. Have you ever noticed that people could give you 5 compliments? Someone could come up to you and give you 5 compliments and just say, wow, you really look nice today. I like your hair color today. Or whatever it is, you know, just give you 5 compliments. But it just takes one person to come up to you. And they can say one negative thing, and it could be as simple as, don't you know how to tie your shoes? because you got a shoe untied. And it could be that simple. That simple. Don't you know how you tie your shoes? Instead of saying, hey, your shoe's untied, I don't want you to trip and fall and hurt your nose, would you tie your shoe? They say it in a probably not the best way. Don't you know how to tie your shoes? And you hang on to that one thing of, don't you know how to tie your shoes? You've heard five positives, but you hear the one negative, and we choose to hang on to the negative. And what happens when we choose to hang on to the negative, the spiral keeps going, and we get into this cycle of rejection, because when someone hurts us, we want to hurt other people. And so we start saying things to other people. You might come up to someone and say, man, you wore brown shoes with that outfit today? Isn't that enough brown? And we pass on that rejection, or we reject the person that rejected us. And when we reject the person that rejected us, guess what? They go and reject someone else. And it becomes a great big cesspool, and it just keeps spiraling down further and further and further. And you know what? It comes to a point that you start living in an environment that there is no encouragement anymore. There is no positive, because it just becomes a cycle of rejection. You're rejected, so you reject. You choose to hang on to that, and you reject the next person. The next person rejects two other people, and it just becomes this big cesspool of rejection, and people who are discouraged and unhappy and afraid and scared, and all these things that are going on. And you know what? We're living in that world right now. Do you see it? Do you see what's going on? God did not intend us to live in this downward spiral, in this cycle of rejection, in sorrow and in pain and in agony and anger and frustration. He didn't design us to live in that type of world. He didn't want us to. He called us above that. Take a look with me, if you have your Bibles with me, in 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. And we're going to break the cycle today. We're going to try to break the cycle today. It's not going to be up to me, it's going to be up to you if you're going to choose to listen to what the truth is here, okay? If you listen to what's going on and actually recognize what's happening, because in the midst of the rejection, you do have a choice. The second step, when someone hurts you, you have a choice to listen to what they say or to reject what they say and know the truth, okay? In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8, it says, I'll give you a chance, Dan, I'm sorry. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8, it says, finally, he's talking to the Christians, those who know that they are loved by God. He says, finally, all of you, live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic. Love as brothers. Be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil. You hear this? Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessing. Read that with me, okay? Because I want to make sure you're hearing it. And it's actually getting in somewhere, okay? Read it with me. Verse 9. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. Did you hear that last part? He says, don't do evil with evil, insult with insult, but give a blessing. He says, the reason we do that, you were called, and so that you may inherit a blessing. You know what? So many people are living their lives right now, and they're saying, God bless me, God bless me. But you know what? God can't bless you until you start being a blessing. God can't bless you until you start doing the things that God designed you and called you to be as a people. Being who he called you to be. When we start being who God calls us to be, then he will shower those blessings. It's the same way with my kids, and same way with your kids. Or if your kids are grown, it's the same way with them even now. You don't want to bless them. You're not going to reward them for doing the wrong things, do you? If you reward your kids for doing the wrong things, guess what they're going to keep doing? The wrong things. It's parenting 101. Okay? If you want your kids to do the right things, you show them what the right things are, you give them the example, you tell them over and over what you want them to do, and when they do it, you praise them. You reward them. You hug them, you love them, you know what's going on. Look what's going on here. You see what happens? What happens when we get in this cycle of rejection? When we start giving insult, when we get insulted, when we start repaying evil, when we've been given evil, when we start getting in that cycle, it just keeps going and going and going. So how do we break the cycle? How do we break that from happening in our lives? Because who else is caught in it? Anybody else? I'm caught in it. How do we break it? There's a really neat passage you need to just understand. It's in Ephesians chapter 1. Take a look at this. Believe it or not, I'm almost done. Ephesians chapter 1. This is going to be the shortest junior church time ever. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. You choose not to believe it. You choose not to reject. You choose not to do that. And you choose to believe the truth about who you are. You're not the dude that wears all brown. You're not the dude that doesn't know how to tie his shoe. You're not the dude that's rejecting or hurting or giving pain. You're not that dude or dudess. You're not that person. You're not the person who doesn't know anything. You're not the person that can't run fast enough. You're not the person that's not smart enough. You're not the person that nobody loves, that everybody hates. And kids, you need to listen to this right now, because right now, you all summer long, I don't know where this is coming from, but all summer long, you've been playing with people that you like. You've got to choose who you've been around all summer long. You get to choose your friends. You get to choose whose house you go to. You get to choose all these different people that you hang around. But in a couple weeks, you're not going to get to have that choice anymore. You're going to go to school, and everybody's going to be there. The good, the bad, and the ugly. Okay? They're all going to be there. And you're going to experience that rejection time after time. Kids, I want you to really listen to me, because you got to understand, when you get into that environment, it's hard. I know it's hard. I remember it. Okay, I was a short little scrawny kid that couldn't do anything right. I couldn't play basketball good. I couldn't play football good. I couldn't play tennis good. I couldn't do anything good. Okay, I really couldn't. I was a squirt. That's all there was to it. I didn't feel like I ever really fit into any one group anywhere. And you know what? You start believing all the things that people say about you. You don't have to, because God says something totally different about who you are when you're in Christ. When you become a new creation, when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, he says the old is gone. You no longer exist as who you were. He says you become a new creation. And this is what God thinks about that new creation. And this is what the truth is about who you are in Christ. Listen to this and listen to it closely. It says, "Praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world." He chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. If you have a pen, pull it out. Okay? If you don't have one, you're going to have to write down this somehow, in some way, shape, or form. Keep it in Ephesians. This is who you are. This is who God says you are, okay? Just in this one passage, write these words down and we're almost done. If I can get this one thing in you. You are blessed. You see that? He says, of our Lord Jesus Christ in verse 3, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms. You, write it down. I am blessed. I'm blessed. I don't feel blessed. Because you've been listening to what other people say about you. Listen to what God says about you as his child. He says, you are blessed. He says, you are chosen in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us. Can you imagine this? He chose, the God of the universe, the creator of all things, chose us. Not just now because of who you are. Not just now because of what you look like. Not just now because of what you're able to do or how you're able to say or where you're working at or what you do in church on Sunday mornings or because you come and sing a song. He didn't choose you now because of who you are. He chose you before the world was created. He had already chosen you to be a child of God. He loves you that much. He chose you. He chose you. God of the universe chose you. Really? You're chosen. You're holy. The creation of the world to be holy. God looks at you when he sees Christ through you. He says you're holy. You're no longer sin. You're no longer blackened. You're no longer filthy. He says you are holy and pure. He says you're blameless. I'm blameless. Write it down. I'm blameless. I'm holy. I'm blameless. How can I seriously be blameless? Because you are forgiven. You see, Jesus' blood has covered all your sin, and we forget that. We're blameless. I'm blameless. So when someone comes up and accuses me, and they say all kinds of rotten things, I don't have to listen to that because I can listen to the voice of God, and he says, even though I may have made a mistake, I'm still blameless because of the blood of Christ. Yes! Listen to me. Yes! You're blameless. Look what it goes on and says. Yes! I'm blameless. He says, in love, he loves you. You're loved. I'm loved. You hear that? I'm loved. He's adopted. I'm adopted. He says, in love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure. I'm adopted. You know what it means when you're adopted? It means someone sees the worth in you. Someone sees the potential in you. I see a little bitty baby who was born and may have been rejected by a mom or a dad, but someone else comes along and they see the potential. They see the beauty. They see the love in this little child, and they don't have any investment in them before, but all of a sudden they recognize that they're going to pour their love into that child, and they adopt them in their home, and they provide for them, and they take care of them, and they nurture them, and they love them. That's what God is doing with us. You know what? We've been rejected by the world. If you don't believe that, just go into the world for a little while. Don't stay in your little cocoon here in Walnut, Illinois. You go to Chicago for the day and just walk around and find how much acceptance you find. Just walk along the streets. You don't have to go to Chicago. You can go to Princeton. Find out how many people will open the door for you. Find out how many people will stop their car so you can cross the street. Not many. You see, we're rejected by the world, but in God's eyes, he has adopted us into his family. He has given us all the pleasures and the responsibilities and the inheritance that he's stored up for each one of us as his children. We are a child of God. So when other people reject us, it doesn't really matter because God accepts us. He adopted us. It says here later, it says, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. We're free. I'm free. I'm free from the bondage of sin. I'm free to live a life that will glorify him. I'm free. I'm not rejected. I am free. I'm able to do whatever he's called me to do. I'm able to be whatever he's called me to be. But people are trying to push us down and say, no, you can't do that. No, you're not able. No, you're not worthy. No, you're not whatever. And you know what? It's a lie. We're free. And we're forgiven. In him, we have redemption through his blood. The forgiveness of sin. It doesn't matter what other people say. It doesn't matter what other people do. We're forgiven. At some point in time in our lives, we got to believe the truth. We got to believe the truth of what God says about us as Christians. Because if we don't believe the truth, if we don't believe, and I'm going to go through this list really quick, I'm going to memorize it. I am. This week, I am determined. I am going to memorize this list. I am blessed. I am chosen. I am holy. I am blameless. I am loved. I am adopted. I am free. And the last one we're going to get to in a second, I'm accepted. I'm going to go through them very slowly so you can write them down. I am blessed. Say it with me. I am blessed. I am chosen. Say it with me. I am chosen. I am holy. Say it with me. I am holy. Say it with me. I am blameless. I am blameless. I am loved. I am adopted. I am free. I am forgiven. Do you believe it? Do you believe it? You see, the cycle of rejection will make you not want to believe this in any way, shape, or form. And you continue to stay in the cycle of rejection, and you are going to remain there for the remainder of your life. Wow, I don't know if I want to use this illustration or not. I'm going to. And I'm going to say, I'm sorry to Danette right now, okay? I'm going to say sorry to you right now. I'm sorry. It's become so painfully obvious to me in the last 2 years at the nursing home, the cycle of rejection that's happening there within our residence. And it scares me. It makes me wonder if that cycle of rejection doesn't come from the people that are surrounding them right now. Because people are scared. And they're hurt. And in some way, we need to change that cycle. The cycle of encouragement. And the only way I think that happens at the nursing home, or at your work, or in my home, is if people start believing who they are in Christ. And when we start believing who we are in Christ, it comes out in our relationships. We start being the people that God has called us to be. We start being people that are loving and encouraging and lifting out. We start being people that are people of blessing to other people. We start becoming people that are blameless because we start doing the right thing even when people are doing the wrong thing towards us. Look at what Christ did on the cross. Before he went to the cross, he stood before this entire place and they told lies about him. They lied. And remember, it always gets me that Jesus didn't say a word in the midst of all that suffering, in the midst of those accusations. He stood silently in the midst of that trial. And even Pontius says, aren't you going to answer these accusations? And he was quiet because he didn't know. He knew that he wasn't going to, if he said, oh no, they're all lying about me, he's doing another rejection. He doesn't have to listen to the lies of people. He listens to the truth of God, that he is holy, he is blameless, he is chosen, he is loved, he is all these different things that God says he is, and he knows it. If we would get that into our minds, if we would get that into our hearts, if we would start living as people who are loved and chosen and blameless and all the things that I have not yet memorized, but I will this week, I promise, and we start living that way, things are going to change in our work environments. We've got to let the people know who are working there and the residents that are there that they are these things, that if they are in Christ, that we can tell that they are blameless and loved and adopted and free, and we can give them a new life that Christ designed for them. Does this make sense? If we don't do it, we're going to be sucked down this funnel of rejection and pain and fear. Blessed. I'm chosen. I'm holy. I'm blameless. I'm loved. I'm adopted. I'm free. I'm forgiven. I'm accepted. I want that. I want to know that in every fiber of my being. I want you to know that in every fiber of your being, that God loves you. He's got a plan for you, but he can't bring that plan to fruit until we come to full grips of who you are in Christ. He can't take us to where he wants us to go until we realize who we really are. Will you accept that? Will you choose to believe the truth of who you are in Christ? We choose to love him and love those around you. We choose to give them slack and stop getting into this cycle of rejection around the people around you. He loves you. And he wants the absolute best for each one of you. I'm going to memorize it. I am. Who will do it with me? I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm chosen. I'm holy. I'm blameless. I'm loved, adopted, free, forgiven, and accepted. I'm blessed. I'm chosen. I'm holy. I'm blameless. I'm loved, adopted, free, forgiven, and accepted. I'm going to repeat it to me every time that I get rejected this week. I'm not going to believe the lies. I'm going to believe the truth of who God says I am. Amen. We're going to sing a song of invitation. And this morning, if you don't believe this, I believe it. I'm having a hard time accepting it. I'm having a hard time feeling it. I think the more I say it to myself, the more I understand it, the more I'm going to receive it into my heart, and it's going to make an impact in my life. If you're one of those people out there that say, I'm not blessed, boy, I'm cursed. If you're one of those people out there that say, I don't feel chosen. If you're one of those people that say, I sure don't feel holy. I sure don't feel blameless. I sure don't feel loved. I sure don't feel adopted. I sure don't feel free. And I sure don't feel forgiven or accepted. If you're one of those people that don't feel that right now or don't know that in your heart that it's true, today's the day to come up and find that truth in Christ Jesus. Today's the day to come up and say, I don't know it, but I want to claim it. I'm going to choose it. I'm going to choose it today. I'm going to choose to follow Christ and let him be the Lord and the truth speaker in my life. Let's stand as we sing.
Actually, I want to say something about that.